Good morning, brothers and sisters. Before I start, I encourage each one of us to have a physical Bible on our hands so that we can refer to it as we share together. If you don't have, it's okay. Next time, bring your physical Bible. And if you like, you can write notes and jot down something you gain in the Bible alongside. Roy is fixing the screen, but it's okay. We can focus on what we're going to share. Let us pray. Yes, Lord, we thank you so much. We have another opportunity to come before you, to read your words, to hear what you are going to speak to us. Lord, this morning we commit the time to you. As we read your scripture, Lord, we ask you to quicken your words in our hearts, so that we don't just read and hear as letter on the paper, but it's spirit and life to us. So we ask the Holy Spirit to anoint the mouth and the ears so that we can really hear you. We commit the time to you. We look upon you. We look upon your mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time I shared with you on the letter of Jude. This time I would like to continue with the remaining part of the letter. One way to look at the whole book is to divide it into four sessions. The first one, greetings and the letter's purpose of exhortation to contend for the faith, is from verse 1 to verse 3. And then verse 4 to 19, talking about why contend for the faith. Verse 20 to 23 is how to contend for the faith. 24 to 5, praise to God. So in the first session, verse 1 told us that this letter to Christians whom Jude described as people who are called, beloved in God, and kept for Jesus or kept by Jesus Christ. Every Christian is the one called by God, beloved in Him, and kept by and for Him. Are you truly a Christian? If you are, you can know that you are called by God. You are beloved in Him. You are kept and will be kept by and for Him to the end. Your life is very purposeful. You are very treasured by the great good God. You are very secure, even to eternity. Verse 3 told us the purpose of the letter is to exhort Christians to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is the faith revealed in the whole Bible. This is the full gospel of Jesus Christ. The second session, verse 4 to 19, told us why we need to contend for the faith. It is because of the dangerous, ungodly people with corrupted and deceitful hearts crept in unnoticed. Their saying and their lives are corrupting and contaminating the faith of true believers. The third session, verse 20 to 23, told us how to contend for the faith. we can consider verse 20 and 21 to be the key verse of the whole book. Let me read. Because the version I'm using is ESV. I'm not sure, is it all of you have ESV? Some may have New King James Version, so I read out. If you have read ESV, then you can read it with me. Verse 20-21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. While verse 3 can be regarded as the theme of the book, which is contending the faith, here, verse 20-21 can be regarded as the key verses of the whole book on how to contend for the faith. Last time we shared that keep yourselves in the love of God is the key to contending for the faith. The word keep is the main verb in these two verses. How to keep yourself in the love of God? There are three other describing, supporting verbs shown in verse 20 and 21. There are three ways Jude showed us how to keep ourselves in God's love. They are, the first one, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. The second one, praying in the Holy Spirit. The third one, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Last time we looked at the first way, building yourself up in your most holy faith. This is our responsibility. But this is not our own work or by ourselves only. We do it with the guidance and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. As in John chapter 16, Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth." Today, I would like to continue and focus on the way of keep yourself in the love of God, which is from the second describing verb, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. As I ponder on this, I think of four aspects I would like to share with you. The first is praying by the Holy Spirit. This means praying by the help of the Holy Spirit. We can just come to the Lord with a simple faith by the covering of His blood. It is God who asks us to draw near to God. It is He Himself who promises that He will draw near to us as we draw near to Him. As said in James chapter 4, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You are His. He loves you. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. Even now, if our hearts today draw near to God, this time the Lord is so desire to draw near to us. Even if we are weak, feeling sad, distressed and depressed, and feeling can't pray, don't just stop there. You can still come and ask Him to help. You can still come and pray in the Holy Spirit. As in Romans chapter 8, verse 26-27. We can go to a few following slides. Romans chapter 8, verse 26-27. Yes. Let us read together. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Therefore, when we are weak and depressed, we can still come to Him. We can still come, and He even can pray on behalf of us with groanings too deep for words. He can strengthen us, empower us, energizing us to pray as we come to Him. One thing we can do is to distrust our own strength, but trust Him. This is the first point about praying in the Holy Spirit I would like to share. So no matter how weak we feel, don't just stop there. Go to the Lord by the help of Holy Spirit. Ask Him to pray on behalf of us and teach us how to pray. The second aspect in about praying the Holy Spirit is prayer and the Bible. Last time through Jude, we encouraged one another to read the Bible every day. As we read, we are not only to read with our head. We need to read the Bible with praying in the Holy Spirit. So that the Bible we read is not only of letters, but spirit. Not dead words, but life. So that the Holy Spirit can reveal Christ in our hearts through the scripture we read. As Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 26, He said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me." That is reading the Bible with prayer in the Holy Spirit, so that we can know the Holy Spirit is going to witness to us about Jesus Christ. On the other hand, we can also pray in the Holy Spirit with the guidance of the Bible, the Holy Spirit inspired words. A few years ago, I saw a problem in the church. The situation was not good. It got stuck and seemed to be no way out. My heart was very heavy. I felt sad with a feeling of helplessness. As I knelt down to pray, a Bible verse from Psalm 123 came to my mind. Then I rose up to read the verse and the context. He said, "To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of the maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till He has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud." Afterwards, I brought these verses to God and prayed, and learning to look to our God and His mercy for that situation. A few days ago, I saw a need. Then I knelt down to pray to the Lord to provide a need. As I pray, I wonder whether I should ask God to provide me so that I can contribute to meet the need. Then a Bible verse came to my heart, which is related to that need. Then I rose up to read the Bible session containing that verse. Then from that session, I understand it is legitimate for me to ask God to provide me. afterwards, I just knelt down and continued to pray. With the scripture and the legitimacy of that. I'm not sure whether God will answer my prayer, eventually providing me so that I can contribute to the meet, to meet the need. I don't know. But I know I want to learn praying consistently and according to His words. Including that specific prayer. So that as I pray, I can pray with confidence. The third aspect of prayer I would like to share is related to the question, does prayer change things? Does prayer change things? Yes, it does. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Do you believe that? I remember when Abraham was in Yvonne's womb, we had an experience. At first, Yvonne found that she was pregnant and was very happy. In early stage, one day, Yvonne felt not very comfortable, so we went to see the doctor. To our surprise, the doctor said that there was a cyst in her uterus. Then my sister Eva suggested us to see her doctor friend for us to get a more thorough second check. The doctor friend said, yes, there is a cyst. He warned us that the cyst might grow bigger and bigger, pressing and even stopping the embryo to grow. We left. I remember that was at night. My impression is that it was raining as well, but I'm not sure. Anyway, in my heart, it is a rainy, gloomy night. I talk to myself, well, although we want to have a second child, God seemed telling us to have one child only and learn to accept it, accept the fact. I dared not share this with Yvonne at that time. Afterwards, we called brothers and sisters in Hong Kong to pray for us. Before we left Hong Kong to Australia, we were very well loved by them. Even after migrating, many of them are still caring for us. That is why we asked them for prayer. Praying for the embryo, they did pray for us. On the other hand, we went to doctor regularly to monitor the embryo's development. One day, we went to doctor for checking again. As we left home, Yvonne saw rainbow in the sky. Not only one rainbow, but two rainbows, a double rainbow, which is a secondary bigger rainbow above a primary rainbow, like part of two concentric circles. The rainbow reminds Yvonne that God is faithful and His promise is trustworthy. Not only a rainbow, but a double rainbow. Yvonne knew that is from God to assure her. She was then peaceful and restful for the embryo's development. After arriving at the clinic, she had an ultrasound. The nurse at first said that there was no cyst anymore because she couldn't find any. After carefully searching, she could find only a very small spot. even in the previous month checking, the cyst was still quite big. The cyst originally could grow to kill the embryo. This time, shrank into one little dot. I'm not sure whether this little tiny dot is still in Yvonne's uterus today or not. We are not aware of that anyway. But I know that Abraham now grows much bigger than Yvonne's uterus. Prayer does change things. In James chapter 4, verse 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Here not only says prayer changes things, but also no prayer can delay or even stop the things God originally desires to give you. You do not have because you do not ask. Therefore, let us pray, asking God to change things for our legitimate need or desire. However, sometimes prayer doesn't change things. As James continues to say in verse 3 of chapter 4, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." When you pray for your self-centered passion, and it's not God's will, your prayer doesn't change things because you ask wrongly. I remember when I first migrated to Australia 23 years ago. I didn't like Australia. The first time I arrived, I just want to go back to Hong Kong. I was living in Burwood area, and while I was walking on Burwood Road, I felt that Australia was a falling behind Burwood place compared with Hong Kong. The pace was so slow and people were so slack. Sorry if I say something wrong. This is my feeling. This was my feeling. The crucial issue to me was the language. I felt very unconfident as a person and felt useless because I couldn't speak English adequately, expressing myself in this English-speaking country. In the past, my mouth was my strength, which earned a living for myself and my family. I was a high school math teacher in Hong Kong and I enjoyed my job using my mouth, teaching math and Bible at school. In Australia, I felt like I'm half dumb and half deaf. I couldn't find a full-time job. After less than a year, I was unhappy. I didn't want to be here anymore. I wanted to go back to Hong Kong. I knew it was God originally brought me here. I thought, maybe His will was just brought me here to get an Australian citizenship, to secure the freedom of choice to live in Australia or Hong Kong at any time I like. For myself and my family, especially for my children. Get a citizenship, and then went back to live and serve in Hong Kong. Maybe the Lord is leading me this way. So I prayed, asking God to bring me back to Hong Kong. And my heart already said, I want to go back. But there was a problem though. It would take another 1 to 2 years for me to get a citizenship. If we left for Hong Kong any time before gaining citizenship, we would lose even our PR, permanent residency as well. I prayed and then came up with an apparently good plan. I myself go back to Hong Kong first to teach and to earn money there, but ask Yvonne and Joy to stay in Australia for a year or two until they gain the citizenship here. This is called staying in migration prison. Married couple in this situation is called astronaut, spaceman, 太空人, in Cantonese, 太空人. For example, your 太太, your wife is empty. No wife at home. Your wife doesn't have husband at home. Spaceman, 太空人. This is a very common phenomenon for Hong Kong people at that time, including Christians. I was ignorant of biblical teaching on family and marriage at that time, that husband and wife shouldn't live apart unless for a limited time for devotion to prayer. I knew this biblical principle. If I knew this biblical principle back then, I won't consider that plan. But anyway, when I look back, my apparently good idea and plan might not be God's will. Was not God's will, but I didn't know at that time. I prayed, but prayed wrongly. I talked to Yvonne on that plan, and she accepted my request. She has been a very supportive wife to me all the time, and that request was no exception. Then I asked my sister Eva, who has already been living in Sydney, to live with Yvonne and Joy to help me to look after them, because I really care for them. As long as I could remember, up till then, Eva never said no to me for my genuine request. Especially those requests is important to me. She's the big sister in our family. Care for me and another younger brother, like mother, since we were very young. To my surprise, that time she said no. She said she couldn't live with Yvonne and Joy in my absence. Without Eva's care and a company to Yvonne and Joy, I cannot consider going back to Hong Kong, because I love them. I do care for their safety. Actually, all the way, Eva has a good and very easy relationship with Yvonne. I didn't know why Eva said no, but I didn't ask her why. The reason why I didn't ask Eva is that as soon as I heard of her no, I straight away recognized that no is from God. So the only way for me is to yield to his no and stop trying and asking going back to Hong Kong. I knelt down and prayed to God. I was so regrettable for keeping wanting to run away and being not faithfully staying here where God put me. I found that I had been wasting a lot of time and opportunities. I asked God for forgiveness. I yielded to him. Then I had peace and was restful to stay in Australia willingly. Knowing that now he will be in control. This is an example of praying, but praying wrongly. Therefore, things didn't change due to prayer, because it is not God's will. However, something did change. It is the person who prays. In this case, it was me, myself, changed. In this case, even previously I kept on praying wrongly, which I didn't know. My heart actually didn't want to disobey God. I don't want to disobey Him. God can have His way to change my thought. So don't give up on praying. Even you pray wrongly. As long as you have a willing and open heart towards God, the Holy Spirit can teach you with His words and the environment He arranges to change you so that you know God and His guidance. So that the Lord can continue to work in you, in your life, for the transformation work He wants to do on you. So, in short, prayer can change a thing or the person who prays. Something happened about a week after I yielded to God that time. I received a phone call which asked me for a job interview. Very smoothly, I got a full-time permanent job. It was with AMP in the actuarial department. At that time, AMP was the largest life insurance company in Australia. I know that this is God's hand. This was the first of my three non-stop full-time jobs in Australia, adding together for more than 22 years. I know that's God's hand. This job offer was not the most important thing. Important is prayer changes things so that you and I can be changed to experience the wonder of His grace and work of transformation. We talk about a few aspects of praying in the Holy Spirit. The first is prayer by the Holy Spirit and His empowering. The second aspect is prayer and the Bible. The third is prayer changes things. Now we come to the final aspect of prayer I would like to share with you. That is, be a man of prayer. Of course, it's including women. In Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul said, I desire then that in every place the man should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Lifting holy hands. Hands here might refer to physical hands. Are your hands holy? Are your hands clean? Have you done something morally or spiritually dirty with your physical hands, which causes your guilt in your conscience? Have you used your hands to control computer mouse and keyboard, to go to inappropriate websites God doesn't want you to go to? Have you used your physical hand to type and text deceitful message for unjust wealth, or bitter or slanderous message to contaminate others? Are your physical hands clean? Hands here may not only refer to physical hands, but also can refer to all things we do. That means it may include our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our feet, our whole body, which carry out all the things we do. This is all our deeds. Are they holy? If not, we need to repent for the things the Holy Spirit reveals unto our hearts, so that by the blood of Jesus, we can be forgiven. Then we pray. Otherwise, the Lord can't hear our prayer. As the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Do you cherish a certain specific iniquity in your heart? If you cherish, the Lord would not listen. I'm not saying that we should be perfect. We should be sinless so that we can pray. No. But if anything, the Lord prompted in our heart, want us to be free from a certain sin, then we should obey. Even we need to ask for help to obey and pay a price to obey. So that we don't want to be a person cherish iniquity. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it said, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. It does not mean that we should go to pray with our own righteousness as a qualification to win God's hearing, as a qualification to pray to God. No. We don't have any qualification of righteousness before God. Because in Psalm 130, it says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Therefore, when James said that, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working, he wants to encourage us to be a righteous person. In this way, we can know God's will better and know better how to pray. Because a righteous person know God's will better, so that he knows better how to pray. Also, since we seek God's righteousness and keep a clean conscience before him, we can pray with a simple and pure faith. If we don't have a clean conscience, our faith will leak away, like someone making shipwreck of their faith. With a leaking faith, you can't offer powerful prayer. That's why Paul encouraged us to pray, lifting up holy hands, not necessarily physical hands, but our whole being, lifting up our whole being as we are to the throne of grace of God to pray. I would like to stop here. I hope that we can all learn more to pray. Learn to pray in the Holy Spirit, to experience and know our faithful and loving God. Through this, we can be transformed to be more like him and enjoy him. Today I focus on the second way to keep yourself in the love of God, which is praying in the Holy Spirit. Last time, we looked at the first way, which is building yourselves up in your most holy faith. God willing, we may look at the third way, that is waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Before we end the sharing, are there any questions or comments you want to raise? Or sharing of your own experience? I don't want to tell you. Sorry. There's no specific verse. Okay, there's a specific verse talking about this specific need. But because I don't want you to know the need, so I don't want to tell the verse. But it is a legitimate need. And also from the verse, I find that it's legitimate for me to ask for God to provide me this so that I can learn to contribute. Actually, of course now I'm not sure whether the Lord will listen, grant me this, I'm not sure, but I'm learning, I'm seeking. But because of that verse, I'm more confident to pray boldly, because this prayer is consistent with God's words. I do hope that we learn to pray. And as we pray, the Holy Spirit can teach us and also can bring us to a certain scripture so that we can... And a lot of time when I pray and I thought about a certain scripture, and I read the scripture, I have more light, I have more understanding of this verse, and I can pray more. So that's why we need to have every day at least a certain period of time our heart can be quiet and focused to God. Otherwise, it's hard for you to expect you can be easily taught by the Holy Spirit as you read the Bible or as you pray. That's why last time I mentioned at least 15 minutes. Actually, 15 minutes only start. But if your heart is not focused and quiet before the Lord, a lot of distraction. But if you learn to pray with the Scriptures, then we can have fellowship with the Lord. That's very true. This is just the verse we have read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, I desire then that in every place the man should pray, lifting holy hands. Of course, we are not driving and lift our holy hands. Right? We are not going to. On the road, we are not going to. But lift up our whole being to pray. Everywhere, every place, we can talk to and communicate with God. Last week, a sister told me, goes to work, he pray. Yes, it's true. It's very good. But she told me, I haven't separate time to read the Bible and pray. Sit still to read the Bible and pray. Then I told her, you should. We can't just rely on walking, driving, and pray to the Lord. This is very good, but this is not enough. Especially if you don't have a good exercise and experience and learning to have fellowship with the Lord without other physical distraction, so that your heart can be very focused and open freely before the Lord without distraction. If you don't learn this well, your so-called walking and talking with God may not be it's good, but it's not enough. Definitely not enough. Something we need to have a quiet heart and focusing heart towards the Lord, so that the Holy Spirit can shine light on us. You know, we are deceitful people. We are very deceitful. We can be deceitful to ourselves. We have a lot of blind spots. Only the Holy Spirit can speak to us, shine light on us, when our hearts open to Him. So I encourage you, as I encourage that sister, we need to have regular time, good time, quality time before the Lord. Otherwise, your faith will be reduced to a religion. You follow do and don'ts. Even you have the Bible, but the Bible to you is only letters, but not life or spirit. But also it is very important, just like our sister shared, it's important for us to exercise as we walk, as we drive, we meditate. That's why memorizing Bible is so good. If you can memorize Bible, you can meditate the Bible verse and communicate with God. Communicating with God as we live, as we walk, through the Bible is very good. A lot of people, they communicate with God, just they talk to God. They express their feeling, which is good, but not enough. We need God to speak to us as well. Any other question or comments? Thanks, Michelle. Yeah. Prayer is not just asking the thing. Prayer is seeking God Himself. So that when we ask even wrongly, He can change us, teach us. And this is a conversation, this is a communication, this is a fellowship. Okay, how about... Yeah, that's very true. Your physical body affects your heart. Your posture affects. So those people, So if the Holy Spirit, if God prompts you to kneel down, just kneel down to pray. If the Lord prompts you our physical environment affects us. So we need to find a place quiet. If you don't have a quiet place without distraction place to learn to have fellowship with the Lord, it might be very hard for you to learn to communicate with the Lord effectively through walking or doing other things. But if you have your secret room, well, then your daily life, walking and talking with God, fellowship with God, will be easier and more effective and more genuine. Thanks for Tiana sharing. How about we pray? Lord, we thank you for your precious scriptures. And once again, we pray that the scriptures we have read today, we ask you to speak to us, speak to our hearts, use your inspired words, speak to our hearts, and encourage and empower us to learn to apply them in our lives. So that not only this morning might be there some desire encouraged, but we ask that you turn these desires into practice, into action, so that we can know and experience the wonder of your words. We just commit to you, and may all we learn to pray and to learn to keep ourselves in your love for your glory, so that we can enjoy you more and give more praises and thanks to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Following, we are going to remember our Lord before His table. This is also